Okay, amen. So, the third lesson today, lesson 24. I'm sorry that in these long mornings I took up all the time, giving you no time. This is actually not right, not the best. But the fullness of the material, and also that the fact that you are doing this during the week, I really, really look to you, brothers, to come together and study these things and fellowship about them and pray over them when you're by us by yourselves. Okay, now I come to this whole matter of boundaries. I have quite a burden on this, on boundaries. Needing to know boundaries as one of the important knowledge that elders should possess. Boundaries. we have to realize, brothers, that in God's, I would even say in God himself, the triune God. Though the Trinity is not separate, right? They are cohere, they coexist as one. But there are distinctions, am I right? Therefore, you have the Father. You do have the Son. You have the Spirit. They're not three gods. They're one God. Even although we don't want to use the word persons to describe the three in the Godhead, because it could lead to certain erroneous, you know, understanding. But nevertheless, there's a distinction between the three in the Godhead. And with those distinctions comes boundaries. Would you not agree with me? Boundaries not in the sense of separation. Boundaries in the sense of a kind of proper, fitting, appropriate activities and behavior, if you will, amongst the three or between the three. Do you agree with me? So the Father is the Father, and he acts as the Father and behaves as the Father towards the Son and towards the Spirit. Likewise, the Son behaves himself in deference to the Father, in relationship to the Father and to the Spirit in a certain way, and then the Spirit as well. So when we talk about boundaries, it is talking about a certain realization of propriety, of limits, of who you are, of what you can do in relationship to others. You know, You agree with me how the Lord Jesus knew his boundaries in this sense, when he was on the earth, especially with the Father. So proper, so appropriate, taking the position of the Son and all that it entails. He stood in that position and behaved rightly, superbly, magnificently in that position. And by doing so, he carried out God's economy. Now, in the human realm, the created realm, the same thing. There are distinctions. There are of different people. They have different genders. Am I right? They're just different. Their familial relationship. There's father. There's children. Am I right? There's grandfathers. There's husband. There's wives. There's uncles and aunts and cousins and nephews and nieces and all of this. And even eventually, according, the Lord even set boundaries amongst the nations, among tribes, among people. All this was sovereignly created by him and allowed by him to exist. And so with these distinctions there in relationship, there also comes boundaries. And when those boundaries are heeded, are taken care of, right? Then you would find the relationship works. When those boundaries are violated or not honored or not cared for, that's when you have all kinds of problems, ranging from mild ones to possibly very severe ones. Well, I would say today what characterizes what's going on in society is a vast abandonment of distinctions and boundaries. Do you agree with me? I mean, even the God-created distinctions and the God-ordained boundaries are deliberately attacked, deliberately overthrown, and deliberately violated. And when you do that, you are going against God's law, even the natural law in his creation. Yesterday I read something that, you know, again to quote Brother Lee, caused my teeth to fall out. And it was there in Kentucky, University of Kentucky. Did you hear that? This department, and then eventually this person who is boundaryless, came up with a set of new words that she created in order to have gender. What? A genderless society, or in the name of inclusiveness of society, that we must give up the usage of the traditional pronouns like he, she, her, him. Those are uninclusive. We need to. So she actually created a whole set of new words. So instead of saying he, that is genderful, she created a pronoun that is genderless. It's not in the Webster yet. I won't be surprised it will soon creep into there. You know, some strange pronouncing words. Sounds like Chinese to me, you know. How beautiful the world would be when there's no more difference in gender. Everyone is the same. So my teeth fell out. I feel like I'm in the theater of the absurd, watching this. I don't know if it's a comedy or tragedy, and I don't know whether I should cry or weep. it is just totally bizarre and strange. But that's what's going on. And it's an agenda. It's an agenda. It is to break every possible law ordained by God in His creation. Today, you're not allowed to, in some situation, you're allowed to be questioned when you're born. What gender are you? You're not allowed to ask that question because it's called gender fluidity. It's a fluid thing. Today I'm a woman, tomorrow I'm a man. And in the afternoon I become a woman again or I become a transgender. So I can go to any bathroom depending on my current gender. Do you know this, brothers? Do you really know? You're in San Francisco. Do you know this? You don't know this? And it is not just shoved down our throat. It is like a subliminal drip-drop thing that starts at 3-year-old or 4-year-old. And they're raised up, including our own, in this kind of atmosphere. And it is being championed in our educational institutions, no less. Now you say, Minoru, you're in South San Francisco. You better be careful. Well, last time I did check, I have my rights. Don't worry for me. There's something called the First Amendment. I have my rights, and I'm going to speak it more today than before. Amen. That is a bit of a background to this message. Brothers, no, that is altogether wrong. God created gender. A man is a man, a woman is a woman, and a beast is a beast. Because let me tell you that that's the next thing coming. You can choose probably one day to become a bird, a pig, and you have the rights. And no one will violate. You have a pig's bathroom, maybe. Then only pigs go there. And today I'm a pig. I'm going to go there. Now it seems I'm here being a bit, I don't know. Huh? Facetious, but brothers, that's where it's going. Trust me. The ultimate agenda is to entirely destroy the system that God has made, to destroy every law in nature that was according to God. You know, this whole thing on homosexuality turns out to be just the beginning. That's not the end. Now, of course, it started through the liberation after the war in the 60s that brought this about. Let me tell you, 50 years ago. By fornication. You know, I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm just talking about fornication. What's the first step? To break the law. Break down distinctions. You can do whatever you want with anybody you want. You follow me? All right, let's come back to this. Let's come back to this. Brothers, to lead the church, we need to know boundaries. There's something for us to really note and take care of carefully. All right. Number one, the meaning of boundaries. In God's work, whether in God's creation or in God's redemption, both, or God's old creation or God's new creation, there are always clear boundaries. God created everything after its kind. Why? Why? Whether it's a plant life or animal life, each of them has its boundary. That's just how they're created. In God's commandments to his people, there are many references to the question of boundaries. God prohibited two kinds of seeds to be planted together or wearing of clothing with two different fibers woven together. You should read this wonderful life studies on Deuteronomy. All indicating that there are boundaries and we are to respect those boundaries as God had allowed them. Three, in God's work, he has set up all kinds of boundaries. Whenever these boundaries are broken down, there will be confusion. That's absolutely the case. And God's work will be destroyed. This is one line you should underline. When boundaries are broken or violated, there will be, the result is called confusion. Fornication equals confusion. Mixture. And when that happens, God's work will be destroyed. B, the administration of the church also has many boundaries. Now we come to the church and her administration. All the services must be in proper order and according to the proper principles. And everything should have its definite boundaries. So brothers, learn to take the lead in the church besides all the spiritual things and so on, the truth, life. You must learn principles. You must pick up the principles. And one of the top principles is that everything has its boundaries. Okay, two, in order for us to administrate the church, we must have a very clear knowledge concerning the matter of boundaries. Okay, now, actually, before Romans 2, I like to actually wedge in here first, Romans 13. That is the next to the last Roman numeral. And that is the boundary between brothers and sisters. All right? I'm just going to read A and B. This is Romans 13. In their administration of the church, the elders must draw a boundary between the brothers and the sisters. This is not a boundary of separation, but a boundary of distinction. Actually, I would say it is a boundary of separation, not just of distinction. B, this boundary must never be removed or annulled. Whenever you annul this boundary, you will involve yourself in immense trouble. Brothers, I must say something to all of you. In light of the world today, and in light of the demoralization of society, in light of the fact that there is no more absoluteness of morality, everything is relative, in light of all these things I just mentioned earlier, brothers, this matter of the separation between the male and the female brother and sister, is something we must take care of. We must take care of this. All right? So, when Paul says in Galatians, in the new man there's no male or female, he is certainly not talking about gender neutrality. He's talking about in the new man, there could not be any kind of persons in the old creation except Christ, right? That's the emphasis, that we've all been baptized, that means buried in Christ, and we have put Christ on, right? That's the Galatians. So in that sense, there's no male or female. So like there's no free man or slaves and so on. In that sense, only in that sense. But really speaking, there are males and females. There are brothers and sisters in the church, and they are not the same. So we all have to take care of that boundary very much, and we all must instill that into the saints, in the saints, to be very, very careful. Sorry, because of the things I need to take care of and the situation that I shepherd in the church life, there are some of these boundaries carelessly violated between men and women, between married men and women. We can no longer say that the Lord's recovery somehow is immune to these things. No. With the help of the internet, the enemy, the devil, sin himself, is just having a field day, wild, to just stir up the lust, the passion, a pleasure that is in every sinner, to do every kind that was before inconceivable violation of boundaries. In this respect, I'm talking about between men and women. You know, right? The other big news recently is that website where you go find people to have affairs with, you know? What is the name? Ashley Madison, or something like that. This is actually in daylight, broad daylight, announcing it and promoting it like, whoa, this is going to help your marriage. And certain people are found in there, including certain known Christians. The Lord says, this is an adulterous generation for a reason. That means this is a generation that breaks all the boundaries. And the result is vast confusion. The disintegration of marriages and families and even societies. Do you know the fall of the Roman Empire began in the heart? Not because of these Goths and these, you know, people over there in the East, you know, these people come knocking at the door of the Roman Empire, the corruption began in Rome. And much of that corruption is exactly these things we're seeing today. Exactly. All manners of corruption, immorality, fornication, and worse. That brought down the whole empire. It imploded upon itself. Make it easy for these barbarians to come in and take over. Brothers, I must warn you and I warn myself, you take care of a local church. You yourself first must be so careful with this. We have to deal with saints. The church is a small community of men and women. Sisters would come and confide in you. Single ones, married ones, may even want to open intimate things. Brothers, what are you going to do? When we came out to serve the Lord, Brother Lee, the first thing, without fail, telling us is never be with a sister or opposite sex in a private setting. I would even use the word semi-private setting is as dangerous. That's brotherly without fail to a worker, you know. The first, because those opportunities or situations are plenteous. They're there all the time. Billy Graham knew that. He had a group of men that, you know, are his assistants wherever he go to have crusades and all of this. And he had to institute a certain kind of policy among his own circle of men. As you travel, you're in hotels, you're not with your wife, you know what I mean, brothers. And I think today, I don't know about today, actually, the Billy Graham ministries. I do not today. But at least with Billy Graham, there was something kept there that was pure. And it upheld that ministry. As opposed to so many Pentecostal charismatic ministries, right? Starting in the 70s and 80s, a slew of these just got caught up in scandals and of all types. They ruined their ministry and, of course, the reputation of Christianity. Brothers, we are in the recovery, but we're all made out of the same thing. We all are the flesh. Brother Lee say, I am 83 years old. I still have the flesh. Brother Lee, we do too. So we must do everything, brothers, and take care of this in an absolute way. I say again, zero tolerance for ourselves. Just one misstep, one careless step, you will ruin yourself. And you will bring untold damage to certain other parties and your local church. And God forbid the Lord's testimony, the recovery. Be very, very careful. Most of these things I have to deal with, you know, related to marriages, sisters, always have my wife with me. For testimony, for protection, for, you know, And today, many young people have no sense of boundary. You have a sense. They don't have a sense. So it's up to you to not follow them, that they would follow you. You know, the word is, we're all friends. You know? We're just all friends. Today I'm your lover. Tomorrow I become your friend. And the next day I become, I don't know what. By the way, I'd like to say something. Strictly speaking, we have no friendship in the church life. We have companionship, which is different. Friendship is something that is worldly. That's something that is could be soulish and leading to fleshliness. Companionship is proper, pure, you know, vital companions, right? 2 Timothy 2, to pursue with those, the twos and threes. But be careful, brothers. Even in that, we all have to be exercised. And this is why the last lesson on denying, right, is so crucial. I am here repeating Brother Lee, merely. I'm just repeating him. And you, some of you remember how much time and how serious he became when he spoke of these things with us and often with the leading brothers. Okay, now let's come to Romans 2. The boundary between the elders and the deacons. All right, with the deacons. In a sizable church, there are elders and deacons, and sometimes even in smaller churches, there would be these two different functions. All the services must be in proper order and according to the proper principles, and everything should have its definite boundary. This is in the church life. The elders in the church are the ones who conduct the administration of the church. They're the ones who govern, rule, administer, and conduct affairs. The function of the deacons in the church is in the nature of service. Their work is business affairs. When certain things that should be done by the deacons are done by the elders have overstepped the functions of the deacons. On the one hand, such a thing puts the deacons out of a job. On the other hand, the more important works that the elders should have done are left undone. Hence, we see that this kind of practice is entirely a damage to the church. When they do this once, twice, three times, four times, on and on, it becomes impossible for the deacons to be perfected. Okay, so the elders should do the work of the elders and the deacons, and sometimes we even call these ones responsible brothers or serving brothers, should do the work of the deacons. And there are even deaconesses in the Bible. They carry out the decision of the leading brothers and mainly tend to the various services and practical affairs and even the business affairs of the church. And the problem is that the elders who are not clear about this, and they do both. They are called a deacon elder, you know, or elder deacon or something like that. And they become the all-inclusive brother that does everything. And the problem is when you do this, you basically take away the function of the deacons. You take away their job. You replace them. and they would not learn and they won't be perfected. On the other hand, it may be you bring in such confusion of the two that the brothers and the saints in the church life don't know what's what and who's who. Because you do everything. And you give the message, you give the announcement, and then you go put the chairs away. And I've seen them from A to Z. That person does it all. He breaks the bread. He passes the cups. He cleans it up in the back while the meeting is going on, and then he comes back and become elder again to give the announcement. And then, I've seen this. I absolutely have seen this. This is a kind of boundaryless, church life. Now, we're not for position. That's not what we're here for. We're not for ranks. And we're not for departments. The church life is organic, just like my body is very living. But my lung doesn't one day decide to be the heart. Am I right? The lung is the lung. The kidney is the kidney. So you don't go around just messing things up in that way. Now, this doesn't mean when we see a need, we don't go fill it. That doesn't mean that. This is a principle here, a principle that we have to what? We have to abide by. Okay? So the functions, and here's talks about elders and deacons. I would even broaden it to functions, to roles in the church life. We should respect that. None of us should be all-inclusive and take over everybody's function. Somebody, some brother may not be doing that job as you would like them to do, but you have to respect a certain boundary. You can help, you can train, you can perfect, but you should respect certain boundary. Otherwise, what is a deacon anymore? What is an elder anymore? And some elders, they just do the deacon's work and they really don't do an elder's job. In that church, there's only deacons. There's no elder, because the elder is not doing the elder's job of administrating the church, of leading the church, of shepherding the church, and so on. They shouldn't be an elder. They should be just a deacon. All right, I hope, brothers, without being organizational, then that's not where I come from, we would all have this kind of awareness. All right? When each function, according to their gift, according to their role, it's a beautiful sight. But that comes from the acknowledgement, the tacit acknowledgement on all parties of their function and role, right? Of course, all need to be coordinated. I'm not saying that. Okay, number three, the boundary between elders and the other brothers and sisters. It's true that we're all God's children. Elders are God's children together with all the brothers and sisters. From this point of view, certainly no boundary, for sure. I hate to see elders behave like an elder. You can smell the elder coming. The Red Sea parts. Especially among some Koreans and Chinese. Oh, our elder is coming. Let's stand like this. Let him go to the front row. Elder Chen. Good morning, Elder Chen. All this happened in the church life. That forced me one day to announce to my church, no saint can address the elders with the title elder. No more. I made the announcement. Just call me brother. I'm Brother Chen. So from that day, no one does that. Sorry, but there's some still do that. They didn't hear my announcement. It's human, this worldly human organizational thing is in all of us. No, we are brothers. But we are brothers, but there are differences. There are distinctions of function. There are differences in responsibilities. And so there are boundaries. Okay, but from another point of view, the ones functioning as elders bear the heavy responsibility of the church. As such, there is a boundary between responsibility and no responsibility. I'm not saying the saints should hear my announcement and just treat the elders like their buddies. Hey, bro, how's it going? Can I come into the elders' room with you and have a chat? No, a proper saint would not do that. Are you with me? We all need to know these things. Okay, for example, concerning certain matters, the elders should only talk to the other elders about them. It's not convenient for them to talk these things over with other brothers and sisters because there's a question of responsibility involved. You just don't bring all the saints into your fellowship of the elders. Then there's no eldership anymore. There is a matter of privacy. There are matters of confidentiality. They have to be there. It has to be there for the proper administration. You just don't go and just, whatever the elders talk about, you talk to the saints freely and like this. Then you are killing the whole thing. You're destroying the boundaries. D, the elders cannot discuss freely with the other brothers and sisters everything that they know. If they do this, they have no boundary, and the result would be quite damaging. Very, very damaging. All right? 4, the boundary between the elders and the workers. There must be a distinction in the relationship between elders and workers or co-workers. With some workers, you can consider them as apostles, and they can take their leadership. Some other workers are young and are just learning to serve the Lord. They should still be under the leading of the elders. This is a further distinction of boundary here. You understand now? When we talk about boundary, we're talking about the recognition, a very conscientious recognition and understanding of our relationship and even of our function. This person is a co-worker, but he is not, so to speak, an apostle. He's just a young, learning, full-timer out of FTTA. So your dealing with them is in one way. Your dealing with this group of co-workers is another way. Sometimes the elders, when they meet together, something is brought up. They should right away have the understanding, brothers, this is not our sphere. This is in the sphere of the work. We have no right to talk about these things here. We will let the co-workers deal with them, or we will bring it to the co-workers. That means you know, right? All co-workers should not go around to the churches and put their nose in and show me your finances. Don't you know I'm a co-worker? No. Or mess in, or get into the administration and take over. This has happened, brothers. This has happened. No idea of certain boundaries. The responsibilities and the burden of the local church rests on the shoulders of the elders. They teach. They edify the saints. They shepherd the saints in their locality. And whereas the co-workers can help through fellowship, the co-workers cannot just barge in and take over. Even if it's a church whose elders that you may have appointed, you don't do that. Okay. You also have to know the distinction between not all co-workers are the same. Some of us don't know that. They're senior ones, experienced ones, who can do certain things, and they're junior ones who cannot do certain things. You see, we all have to learn how to be. The boundary between elders and their relatives. The elders must know clearly the boundary between them and their relatives. In some localities where some brothers function as elders, they also drag, I like this word, drag their families in as elders by talking about what goes on in the elders' meeting. Suppose an elder knows the boundary between the elders and their families when he goes home after the elders' meeting and his wife asks him about the elders' meeting, he can gently tell her, "You are not an elder." Will you say that? What if she blows up? You see, brothers, this is another situation you should die to yourself. We're not here to just take care of those natural relationships, sacrificing the propriety, the proper, you know, relationship in the church life. And this has been done in too many places. Elders go home, and the wife would say, "Dear, I'm really burdened today. I pray for your meeting. Can you tell me what you talked about?" And after a while, you cannot handle the haranguing, and you just gave in because you want some sleep, you know. The next thing from this, it travels to another sister, it travels to the kids, it travels. Eventually, everybody knows. That has damaged church lives here and there. Far East here, it is the same. Brothers, I would like to say, number one, take care of these boundaries. Your wife is not an elder or eldress or whatever. She does not need to know these things. These boundaries must be clear. And I would like to have a very strong sidebar here, and that is the matter of confidentiality. If we do not have a principle of confidentiality among the leading brothers, we cannot talk about certain sensitive things because the next thing you're going to talk to everybody. And that would destroy matters or frustrate matters. So keep confidence. Respect privacy. You know, a doctor today cannot go around telling things between him and the patient. That information is confidential legally. You can be sued. And to some extent, the relationship between a quote-unquote pastor or minister and one of their members falls into that category. If you're not careful, you can be sued. I'm not threatening you. I'm saying this is the law. So, brothers, we all have to be very, very careful about boundaries. Things that we cover in the elders' fellowship should stay there. I would even say, brothers, I go a step further. Sometimes things that these two elders are taking care of should not be known by the other elders. Not because we are not transparent or, you know, secretive. No. Because that matter is so sensitive and touching lives. We handle things touching lives, touching marriages, touching families. We have to be very, very exercised and careful. This is a very litigious society that we're living in. And we need to be wise. Okay, I don't have much burden for the boundary of timing. This is just a sensitivity about timing. Certain things you can say now, but at another time you shouldn't say it. Or past that time, you cannot say it. And we all have to learn to be sensitive about these things. The boundary of place. The elders can do certain things in one place, not in others. Speak certain words in one setting, but not in another setting. Strictly speaking, only in the elders' meeting can the elders speak openly and freely without reservation and concealment about things pertaining to the brothers and sisters, the church, and the testimony of the Lord. Strictly speaking, we should keep things there. All right. Boundary of business affairs. We should know whose business each matter is. And so when certain things come to their attention, I'm just jumping, they can immediately say, this is the brother's business, let us not touch it for now. You know, some of us, whether it's a good heart or it's our disposition, just want to be involved with everything that comes our way. We're like flypaper. Everything that comes by, zoop, gets stuck on us. That's not good, brothers. Don't. It's better not to know so much. Don't try to get involved or wedge your way into the affairs of the saints. Recognize, is this your business or not? If it's not, don't get involved. Or sometimes refer this to another brother. But some brothers, they just like to just get involved with everything. No, this is not right. Okay, the boundary between the churches. You must distinguish clearly whether a matter belonged to one local church or another local church. Do not consider this as unimportant. We must always learn to draw the boundary clearly. Although there shouldn't be fellowship between the churches and although they should help one another in the Lord, yet the boundary between the churches must be clear. Yes, brothers, we should blend. We are one body. Amen? Amen. But don't have this kind of kumbaya thing. I take care of your church, you take care of mine. I wear your socks, you wear mine. We are one. Hallelujah. What? Brothers, yes, we are one. Yes, we should be blended. We are one in Christ. But we need to know there are boundaries, okay? We're going to really cause a lot of problem if we don't. Okay, 10, the boundary between the church and the work. Very important. There is a difference between the church and the work. Any local church can only be responsible for the work in its own locality. For instance, in a certain locality, the gospel work of edifying the saints, and the work of visitation and teaching are all responsibility of the local church, meaning the responsibility of the brothers there. Only the commissioned apostles and the Lord's workers have the ground to do a work of outreach, pioneering in other cities. This is the relationship between the church and the work. Now, the church and the work have a wonderful relationship. Have a wonderful relationship, mutual, where the work actually give rise to a local church. The work raise up local churches. And in turn, the churches should support the work and pray for the work. And there would be a very, very harmonious relationship. But there's still boundaries. They're still different. And we should not mix things up, okay? C, the administration of a local church is in the hands of the elders. No worker, no matter how experienced or spiritually advanced he is, can be a substitute for the elders to bear the responsibility of the church. I cannot go to a place and say, you know, here's some brothers, they're really messing things up. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Ah, I know you couldn't do this. Okay, let me do this. No. That is wrong. That is wrong. At the most I can do is to point out certain things that I observe, share my burden, and have some fellowship with the brothers, how things can be improved and so on. Right? Then it is their job to carry out the responsibility in a locality. All right. Okay. Number 11, the boundary between the church and the denominations. Some are not even clear about that. We can never acknowledge that any denomination is the church. We can only acknowledge that within those denominations, there are brothers and sisters, people who are part of the church. We should distinguish the difference between the various denominations and the churches that the Lord has established in each locality on the earth. Are you clear about that? You know, sometimes, you know, right now, and I have a, actually this is a very positive report. You know, San Juan Capistrano is a town south of Irvine, a church of maybe 70, 80 people, something like that. It came out of Irvine many years ago. And recently, a whole group of Hispanic, Spanish-speaking believers got a hold of the ministry, loved it, and they could not go on in their church denomination because it was very tightly controlled by a very dictatorial pastor. So they could not go on, so they left that and began to meet. How many of them? 30-some of them. Their families, their children, their old people, young people. And they touched the church in they're in San Juan Capistrano, and now the whole group is coming this way. So overnight, the church in Capistrano increased by 1/3, and they start coming to the meetings. At first, it was a dinner. Then they start to come to the Lord's Day meeting. Then now they're even prophesying in that meeting. And the kids are in the children at this meeting. So when the brother talks to me, I said, whoa, praise the Lord, but be careful. This is a test. Now, we all would pray that all of them would come into the church life. It happened in the early days, a whole group. And you know what, brothers? I foresee that to happen again. Amen. In greater frequency in the United States, you know, so-called free groups or whatever. And this is one of those cases. But I said, brothers, be very, very careful. Take time. Don't hurry anything. Don't be too excited. Because we've been through all of this before, you know. Sometimes there's someone in that group that has ulterior motive. Yeah, we've seen that before. And sometimes we realize that actually they're not ready. They just, out of some excitement, they come this way. Then after a while, it didn't work out. So I said, take time. But my point, you know, in relation to what we just read here, is that we have to be so careful and so exercise knowing boundaries. Right? And those boundaries may shift, may change over time. And you have to have the wisdom. And how to what? How to handle that. Otherwise, again, we cause problems. And even sometimes because of that, we wasted opportunities. We bungled, right? Is that the word? And, okay. Now, I better finish this last 2 points. 12, the boundary of the truth. The elders should have considerable knowledge regarding the truth. They must be able to draw a boundary on all truth. In this way, it will be very easy to find out the heresies and the wrong teachings. The one responsible for administration in the church do not necessarily need to use all the truth, but they need to know all the truth. Okay. So the truth actually set up boundaries. The truth itself create boundaries. All right? What is heresy? What is the truth? What are wrong teachings? What is the truth? There ought to be a clear wall. You know, the New Jerusalem has a wall to wall out what is wrong and to wall in the riches of the triune God. So there need to be a wall in our church life. But that wall is a kind of boundary, and we need to know them. And how do we have that boundary? How do we establish that wall? Brothers, we need to know the truth. We don't have a manual that says this is this, this is that. We don't have that. We have only the Bible. And so we need to know the truth in order to have that boundary or separation between the truth and the wrong teachings or heresies. Okay, finally, could you all read together number 15? If the elders know how to draw these boundaries, their administration of the church will be stable, clear, and proper. They will be able to bring all kinds of people and things on the right track. In this way, the church will have the real administration and building. These things on boundary is not matters of life, necessarily, but matters of appropriateness, of propriety, of what is fitting, and so on. But they are so, so crucial to our administration. Okay, I'm finished 10 minutes early. Yeah, praise the Lord. What do you want to do now? Do you have some questions based on our fellowship? Or some cases, we can turn it into a case study. Yes, Shumi.
Basically, my question is, I'm not sure at all. So I guess reading this portion from the elders' management of the church on the distinction between the elders and the deacons, how do you reconcile that?
Easy. You see, Brother Lee didn't go there to be a deacon. You know, he was in the eldership for sure, but of course he was also a co-worker there. But clearly he didn't do that. He did that, but he didn't do that all the years he were there. He did that to kickstart the church life according to a blueprint that Brother Nee gave him. And that has to do with the practical services, all saints functioning. In order to do that, he didn't just go there and set up some kind of system and then say, now you do it. He led by being a pattern. He led by example. So he did those things. But he didn't do it to be a permanent deacon. He did that to set the example for others to follow. Actually, he did that to perfect the saints. And very soon enough, that happened, not only in the bathroom, actually, to tell you the truth. He loves to talk about the bathroom, but it was the whole service office. He spent the most time in the business office of the church in Chifu. I mean, all the way down to where the pencil should be. If you know Brother Lee, huh? Where the pencils, where the eraser, the saints who come to the business office like they're going to work. That was how detailed he was. But he didn't do that to take over. He just set the example for the church to have a way to go on. Many of those examples are still with us today. Because of what he set up there, it is still with us today. Right. So that's an easy. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
I have a question about the boundary between the church and the denomination.
Yeah.
Sometimes that even among some meetings, the saints will have that question, especially the new ones. And I found sometimes even senior experienced saints, they start to adapt this feeling that, oh, we should have no distinctions, and they talk lightly. And that really brings in some confusions. So how do we sort of help and then sometimes help the saints know there is a boundary, or when is the proper attitude to deal with?
Well, I think you, number one, you need to know the truth. The truth is at the base. You need to know the truth, you know, concerning the church ground, right? Concerning the oneness, concerning the ground of locality. You need to be clear. You also need to be clear about what is wrong with denominationalism. You know, not just everyone says it's bad, I also say it's bad. No, no. You need to know the history. You need to know why. You need to say those things according to the truth in the Word, right? That they're sectarian, they're divisive, and so on. Okay? So you also need to know the truth that whilst there is difference and even separation between the Lord's recovery and the denomination, but we recognize that all the brothers and sisters, the true Christians in the Lord, we are one. And in that sense, there's no distinction. I would treat the Pope, if he's a real brother, just like I treat Jim, because we're brothers, right? In that sense, there's no distinction. But I'm not going to invite the Pope here. You understand what I mean? Or promote the Pope's teaching, right? Or get go mingle with the Catholic Church, right? We don't do that because that is inappropriate. That is not respecting the boundaries. And that would compromise, indeed confuse the truth, making the recovery not what it is anymore. So I would say the persons who are involved, especially those who are taking the lead, and the leading and the senior saints really should know better to know what to say. Now, there may be some of these ones may be from the denomination. They're not clear about these things. So how we help them and how we speak to them becomes important. We should not just kind of let them have it, you know. It will offend. We need wisdom. We need patience. We need to say the right words at the right time to help them eventually to realize the difference. You know, what is the recovery and what is denomination and things like that. Right.
I'd like to ask if you could clarify a little bit about the matter of sisters prophesying versus sisters teaching, and we know there's a prohibition for that. We're blessed to have a sister in our locality that's very much into the truth. She talks about offerings and all that kind of stuff. So would you just comment on that?
See, I'm glad you brought up this question because it's quite appropriate, in light of this lesson. Yes, the Bible has very clear speaking concerning a woman ought not teach in a church meeting. But it also, of course, have words like all can prophesy one by one and so on. So this is a kind of a conflict or struggle that we may have run into. I would say this, that as far as explaining this, you know, we have it in the recovery version, and that is when it says women should not teach, it means a woman should not teach in the way of exposition or expounding of doctrines or to speak in an authoritative manner. That is wrong. That is inappropriate. All right? But for a sister to give a prophecy and, you know, speak the holy word and share a testimony, all of these things are more than needed. We want more sisters to do that. Now, where do you cross the line is, I guess, your question. Well, the line is crossed, I would say, depending on the subject that is being covered. Number one, so if the sister stand up and say, especially in a church setting, with brothers present, all right? How you should give according to the Bible, this and that, in a that kind of a teaching way, I would say that is inappropriate. Now, for the same sister in a home with a few young sisters, he would say the same thing to those young sisters in how to give. I think that's okay. Are you with me? I think Prisca did that to expound to none other than what Apollos, the way of the Lord, probably in front of her husband, you know? You see my point. In a, the setting is different. The setting is private. The setting is just the same, just some sisters. Or the setting is the setting of the church. Then it also depends on, you know, on the other side is really very much the sisters themselves. I would say the proper sisters should learn, should have learned the lesson. There's a line you don't cross. And if you do, the Spirit will even convict. The Lord would not honor. So I would say and then lastly, of course, we, the leading brothers, should also have to have a sense of these things in terms of setting, in terms of the tone. You know, when you speak, there's a tone. Sometimes it conveys authority. Sometimes they don't. All those kind of more, these kind of intangibles, if you will, you have to be quite exercised about. And if there's a crossing of line, you know, repeatedly, then you may have to do something to have some fellowship with that sister to refrain from doing that because it is not good. And it may set up a wrong example for other sisters to soon follow. Yes? There's a brother behind you first. We will only go these two brothers because it's 1 o'clock. Go, brother.
In our local church is already happening, so maybe say same question I asked you before. That is, in the local church, we have the boundary between brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And for that matter, our sisters in the church life do not seem to take the coordination efforts as a oneness building up between them. And as a brother, I don't know how to help them because there is boundary between the brothers and sisters. And the sisters in our local church, because we are still young, they are not able to help themselves either. So on that situation, how should we go on?
Yeah, well, I will answer that question in this way. Yes, I understand. Especially sometimes in a smaller church or a younger church or a newer church, you may have that situation where you have some brothers with some maturity, but on the sister side, none, let's say. Then how do you perfect those sisters and help them? That is something that I would just say you have to have some wisdom from the Lord and be quite exercised about it. You can still perfect them in a more general setting. You don't have to just meet with the sisters. And by the way, some brothers just love to meet with sisters. That's a flag. That's a real flag, okay? None of us should just gravitate towards sisters. No. The sisters are important. I have sisters' conferences and meetings. But no, I'm not gravitating towards sisters. I just like to shepherd sisters as a brother. No such thing. It's better for sisters to shepherd sisters. Now, back to your question. So the other thing is, this is why we do need more constituted ones in the church life. You know, like in a migration, in a smaller church, actually we say, oh, we want new ones to come, young ones to come. Actually, we should say, we need some old ones to come. A church, a new church, will be very blessed with a few constituted and mature couples and brothers and sisters. So may I say this word? When we say, oh, we're here for the young working saints, pass on the baton, we are absolutely not implying that the older saints are useless. On the contrary, when the young working saints rise up, we need more older brothers and sisters to brothers and sisters, not just brothers, to shepherd and perfect these younger ones into their function. Last question.
I don't exactly know how to respond or react to when I talk to, say, there's some saints from some new groups thinking that we are also the local church. What makes you guys the local church? We're not. Or then another question is, how do we react to a new city that they love the ministry or and then they're meeting as the local church? And then the third thing is, can you explain a little bit how the workers, when they have the burden to enter into a city, have a lampstand there? What's the process of having a lampstand? Do they figure out if there are saints already meeting in such a way or, you know?
Yeah. Three heavy-duty questions. I would not do it justice and just give you a two-sentence response. That would be irresponsible for me to do that. But they are very heavy, very important questions. They need to be answered. And I believe others can answer this as well. But let us answer this at another time. This really needs addressing very, very much. So I'm not trying to dodge the bullet here, but very, very important questions. But let's use another time because it's 1:05 already. Don, any announcements?